You're listening to Success with Michael and Faith. This podcast is dedicated to transformation through communication and information with the dynamic duo, Michael and Faith Thomas. Now, let's go right into the live conference call as they discuss personal development and 25 principles of success by Dr. Francine Hash.
Just want to say welcome to our Pathways for Life and Propel Forward Incorporated personal development and self-development success group. For those of you who do not know, this success group is a collaboration between Pathways for Life Incorporated and Propel Forward Incorporated. So just want to let you guys know that we're collaborating to bring this self-development course to you. The book that we study out of is called Our Pathways for Life Success Group Manual. So to those of you who have a book, we will be talking and discussing principle number 2 and principle number 7 on this evening. And just to let you know, if you don't have a book, no worries. You do not need a book to participate. However, it does enhance your study of the material and of the discussions that we cover. But if you would like to have a book, just want to give you a phone number. So if you would like to order a book, for those of you who have a pen or pencil, you can write down this phone number. If you would text Personal Development Success Group Book, if you would text Personal Development Success Group Book to the number 336-330-1500. I'll say that again. Text Personal Development Success Group Book to 336-330-1500, and someone will reply with the information on how you can receive that book. If you go online, you can find the book for $39.99. However, for those who participate in this success group, you can receive that book for $25 with no tax. So again, one of the ways we like to start this success group, or since this is a success group, we like to start the night off with defining the definition of success. Often when we have our face-to-face meetings or we have our conference calls, one of the first things we like to do is come in agreement with our definition of success. And one of the definitions of success that we've adopted from Mr. Earl Nightingale is this. The definition of success is the progressive realization of a worthy goal. I'll repeat that one more time. Our working definition of success that we have adopted is this. The realization, the progressive realization of a worthy goal. So the progressive realization of a worthy goal. And what I like about that definition is what that means is that means that anyone can be successful. That means that if you are actively and progressively pursuing your goals in life, then you are successful. You're not waiting to be successful, but as you actively and progressively pursue your goals, you are successful. But what we're after in this success group is this. We're after greater levels of success. And it's through personal and self-development that we can obtain greater levels of success. So let's get right into this. So tonight we're discussing principle number 2 and principle number 7. I will say this for those of you who may not know, our Pathways for Life Success Group, it includes 25 principles to success. And basically it's 25 principles to success for real success and happiness in life. There are a lot of different types of success, but what we're after is we're after good success and real success in life. And again, if you guys would just text us at 330-1500, area code 336, then we can get a copy of that book. But we do want to remind you that participation in this session is the book is not necessary, it's not needed. And also you can text that number if you would like to have some of the exercises from the book. We can get those to you. All right, so let's get right into our lesson or discussion for this evening. So tonight we'll be discussing principle number 2. Principle number 2 is reveal who you really are. Reveal who you really are. Who are you really? That's what we're talking about in principle number 2. And we combined principle number 7 with principle number 2 because they were so closely related. And principle number 7 is connecting to yourself. You know, so many times we connect to people, places, and things. We have all these different types of connections, but often we aren't connected to ourselves. So we're going to talk about and discuss how do we get connected to ourselves? Because whether you believe it or not, one of the most important people that you can connect to is yourself. Wouldn't you agree? All right. Now, one of the questions as we talked about these two principles, revealing who you are, We brought up some questions, and one of the questions that was asked in this lesson was this. It was, what do you think? Why do you think the way that you do? That was the question that we presented. We just took some time and slowed down to talk about that. Why do you think the way that you do? The other question that was presented in our last face-to-face was, we talked about, why do you deal with life issues the way you do? That's a very good question. Why do you deal with life issues the way you do? And one of the things I want to do, I want to take that moment just to read an excerpt from one of the pages. And what I love about this book is it's really a study book. A lot of these principles and lessons are only 4 to 5 pages. So that's easy reading, 4 to 5 pages of reading. And within those 4 to 5 pages, there'll normally be 1 or 2 pages that has some kind of exercise that will assist you with the subject matter that's in that principle. So let me read a quick excerpt from the book. It says this. It says, every experience, some devastating, some crucially hard, and some extremely pleasant. However, every experience was the knife that molded you into being who you are today. Reflecting back to the memory of experiences allows you to see a true picture or of who or what was a negative impact and to position you on this earth, or who was a positive impact to that positioning. Each experience positions you to know exactly what you should do now to keep moving forward towards your ultimate dreams. So those are the two questions and the input they would have. What do you think? Why do you think the way that you do? And why do you deal with life issues the way that you do? And some of the answers that we receive, and I'm sure we'll have even more when we get to the discussion part of this session this evening. Some of the answers we received was the way that they were raised. Often people say how they were raised, how they were brought up, the neighborhoods they were brought up in. That has a lot to do with who we are today. Another thing that came up was the environment that we either were in or the environment that we are currently in has a lot to do with who we are today. And that's interesting because, you know, for those of you who dibble dabble in studying psychology, I'm no expert in the arena, but I do know that there is a principle in psychology that they call environmental determinism. And basically what that principle says is, it says that whatever environment that you are incubated in, whatever environment that you are find yourself in, that is the environment that will shape how you think, that will shape your thought patterns, that will shape your actions, that will shape pretty much everything about your life. Environment is extremely important. So we want to talk about who are you really? We want to talk about those thought patterns. And what I'm getting ready to do, I'm ready to turn this over to Ms. Faith Thomas, and she's going to carry us to that next step in talking about thought patterns and talking about environmental determinism. And so we can get further into discovering who are you really?
Well, as Michael was talking about who we really are, I really begin to reflect back to some things that I believe has shaped who I am today, but also those things that I've had to shed because it's no longer serving me. And I was in a conversation today and someone was asking me, tell me a little bit about yourself. And I found myself, you know, sharing with them that I'm from a very small rural town, that my family was a family that was very community service oriented, very humanitarian, those types of efforts. Those are the things that I saw. And it's really amazing how much of that has shaped who I am, because those are the things that I love to do today. I love to help people. I love to see people, you know, change a negative situation and come out into the positive. So as we're talking about these environmental things, and as we're talking about our experiences, some of them being tragic and some of them being very good, part of getting to know ourselves is having the courage to be able to really look at our situations with a clear eye, with a true eye. And when we can look at our situation and be able to delineate, what are those things that are good? What are those things that I want to keep? What are those things that I value about my character? What are those things that I love about how I respond to people, places, and situations? And then also with a clear eye, we can look at, what are those things that I really want to change? What are those things that really aren't serving me? And I find myself being in cycles where I don't like the results. And so in discovering who we really are, we really have to look at our thought patterns. Because I've heard it said before that our thoughts actually govern our actions. And when you think about a government, you think about those things that are your guidelines, your rules, your regulations, your boundaries. All of that has to do with your thought life and your bodily actions, that natural outward action that everyone can see. They're really just seeing your inner thoughts. So, for example, you know, if it's in the middle of the night and you stub your toe, without even thinking about it, you're going to say something. And sometimes we say, ouch, and it may not really even hurt. or we may really, really hurt it. And we may say something that we wouldn't typically say if we had a chance to think about it.
Well, that's really good. You know, I just had an experience just recently, just the other day. You know, I was fooling with some papers, going through some paperwork, and a piece of paper just slid right across my pinky finger, quite a bit of ways, very sharply. And before I could even think about it, I automatically said, ow. However, when I checked my finger, I noticed that normally I would have received a paper cut with that type of touch or cut, but I didn't even receive a paper cut. My finger wasn't even cut, yet my mind still told me to say ow. So what that let me know was that evidently that has happened to me so much dealing with papers and paperwork that my subconscious told my conscious that that should hurt to say ow, when in actuality and in reality, it didn't hurt and I didn't even have any effects of it. So that began to make me to question what other actions am I carrying out? That is really not the truth, is really not who we are, is really not the right response. But because our subconscious and our bodies have been programmed for a certain response, we automatically go to the saying ow, we automatically go to complaining, or we automatically go to some other type of action.
Yeah, and that really comes with, you know, even being defensive. I can find myself being defensive when certain information may, you know, be brought to my attention. It may not be something I'm willing to really deal with. But, you know, when you're able to get alone by yourself, you're able to examine that and say, hey, why did that bother me? Why, when that person said that, or I was put in a situation that I wasn't used to? And a lot of times, if we really look at it, we can normally locate maybe how we grew up. How does all the people in our family react when they're in a similar situation? What are some of the programs that I either, you know, watch on TV or maybe, you know, watch on my phone? All of the things that I'm ingesting all the time, these things are going into our subconscious. And that's really the programmer. That's really the driver behind the wheel. And so in most situations when we're dealing with people, we have enough time to kind of really think out what we want to present. But the real truth is when we're in situations and we really don't have time to think about it, or when we're alone by ourselves and it's late at night, those thoughts that we have, those worries, those concerns, those things that keep us up in the middle of the night, that is when the subconscious is really stirred up and it is now dictating to us, this is how you're going to respond. And so even though in your conscious mind, you may be saying, well, I'm not going to worry about that, or I'm not going to be concerned about that, or I know this situation is going to turn around. When you still feel that churning in your stomach, when you still feel those butterflies, when you still feel that uneasiness, that's actually your feeling is giving you a true indication of where your real thoughts are. And I once heard a great man say that your feelings is really just an indication of, you know, what vibration you're on. So if you're in a bad mood, then that means your thoughts are on a bad vibration. But if you're in a good mood, then that means your thoughts have been elevated and is thinking on things that are good. And I know some people, our favorite book, it says that's why we're supposed to think on those things that are good, that are lovely and of a good report. Because when it puts us in that vibration, that means our thoughts are actually in control. And so it actually takes time. You actually have to make sure that you're reprogramming all of those negative things that you either saw when you were growing up or that you still feed on as an adult through different mediums of entertainment. You have to really begin to dissect what are those things that are feeding my thoughts that still kind of tie me back to some old habits and some old ways of thinking that I really don't want to be a part of anymore. And so questions that we like to ask people is, when you get bad news, what is your normal reaction? That is, again, an indicator, your natural reaction, not the reaction that you give people when you have time to think, not the reaction or the words that you say when you want to, you know, look good in front of people and you want to seem unbothered and feathered, that nothing can ruffle your feathers. We're not talking about that practice, that face that we put on, but we're talking about the real person that's behind the real feelings of what's going on. And it's very important to really be able to look into your thoughts, because it actually allows you to see where you fit in also. A lot of times we have a cloak of what everyone else says we should be doing, how we should act, how we shouldn't act. And so many times we have to filter through all of that stuff, because when we're able to filter through it, we can clearly see, where do I fit in this world? We talked about there were seven kingdoms in our last face-to-face. There are seven different kingdoms that we should be impacting. And a lot of times we don't know which kingdom we belong in because we've cloaked on other things that people have put on us concerning who we are.
That's so true. And one of the things I want to say as far as those about the thought patterns, you know, when we look at many of the great leaders, no matter who your famous possibly deceased leader is that you look up to, when you think about Malcolm X, when you think about Dr. Martin Luther King, if you think about Abraham Lincoln and some of the other greats of our history and of our past, there are a multitude of things that each of them disagreed on. But the one thing that they all agreed on, ironically so, the one thing that they all agree on is that we become what we think about. They all agree that we have to begin to deal with our thought patterns in order to discover who we really are. And if we do not begin to change some of those thought patterns, the one thing that they agree on is that whatever your dominant thought patterns are, that will be what we'll see dominate your life. I'll say it again. Whatever your dominant thought patterns are, is what will dominate your life. So that's worth certainly considering. A couple of thought patterns that I want to bring up, and Faith will come back and further elaborate. We had some really good discussion on thought patterns, and some of the thought patterns that was hindering many of us to success in life and reaching our goals is, we talked about the thought pattern of relationships. For example, I'm sure many of you have heard many single people say this. Maybe you heard someone say, maybe you heard a young lady or a lady say this, there are no good men in the world. That's a thought pattern. When you say that there's no good men in the world, you know, out of 6 billion people in the world, you mean out of 6 billion, there are no good men. And when we discuss how, even when you say a thought pattern like there's no good men, you have to begin to change that mentality, because we know that there are some good men in the world. Now there are no perfect men in the world, but there are some good men in the world. And to say that there's no good men, you're actually saying that there's no good mothers, because there are good mothers out there who have raised boys into men. And so that's also a thought pattern that we have to connect, that since there are good mothers, so to change that thought pattern, for example, we might say, since we know that there are good women, and since we know that there are good mothers that raise good men, that's one thought pattern that could be a hindrance, for example, for a single lady. Another thought pattern that we dealt with kind of deals with the money or financial arena. Maybe when you were a child, or maybe even now, you hear people say often, or maybe you say this to yourself, that I can't afford that. It's never a matter, and this was a principle that was taught very good in the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It's never a question if you can afford something. The question is always not that I can't afford it, but the question is, how can I afford it? Or have I taken the time to figure out how can I afford it? So that's when we get into paradigm shifts and beginning to shift and move thinking patterns around.
So one of the things, again, in the beginning of our lesson, the first principle was to look at the wheel of life. And so when Michael gave that example, this is why it applies in a success group, because in the success group, you have several different areas in the wheel of life that you actually want to see success. You want to see success in your relationships. You want to see success in your finances. You want to see success in your recreation, your free time. Are you taking that time to do self-care and to relax? So there's all these different areas in the wheel of life that we want to see success in. And a lot of times when we think about success, we kind of limit that to how much money we have in the bank, how big our home is, or what type of vehicle we drive, or what type of vacations we can afford. And all those things may be indicators of a form of success, but what we don't want to limit it to is that's the only type of success. And so by giving those examples, how this all relates to success is because if we do not begin to get to who we really are, what will happen is that that these limiting thoughts that sometimes stay buried, they will come up at the very times when you are trying to make progress towards success. And so it is imperative that you take the time to be able to really look at and examine. And one of the practices that I like to do, and you can read it in normally many self-help books, is they tell you that early in the morning, before you start your day, begin to write down those things that are bothering you, what's troubling you. Just start writing them down in your journal. And then as you write down whatever that fear is, whatever that anxiety is, whatever that worry, you then begin to ask yourself questions. What is causing that? What experience am I reaching back to in my past that reminds me of I've lived this before and I'm actually dreading reliving it again? And then after you've done that for a few minutes, then you have to replace what you've been thinking about and what you are actually able to discover as you went through this process of journaling it down. What you then want to do is then replace it with the opposite. So one of the things that I used to do is that I hated the sound of my voice. And even though I knew a great deal of my purpose and my calling would be in communicating with people and being able to stand in front of audiences and having intimate conversations like this, I understood at some point I had to stop hating my voice. And so what I did is that I wrote it down. I said, hey, I hate my voice. And then I start looking at, why do I hate my voice? Well, when I was younger, people say, oh, you have a deep voice to be a girl. Or they would say, oh, you have such a country accent. And so, you know, I had family that lived in New York and everyone always seemed like they, you know, would esteem and lift up if you had a New York or Northern accent, then your voice sounded really good. But if you had a country accent like myself or a Southern accent, it would seem as something that wasn't as good. And so as I began to just write down all of the things that had been said to me or ways that I felt as I began to speak and share, I then realized that, okay, these are the roots. These are the things, my exposure and my experiences that's been deep in my subconscious on how I feel about my voice. But once I start replacing it, now when I listen to playbacks or sometimes I go back and listen to these success calls, I actually start writing down, I love the sound of my voice. And so that's just a small exercise and example that I wanted to give, that no matter what it is, write it down, look those fears in the face, look at those things that begin to shape that negative thought, and then begin to replace it. And if after you do that for several days and you keep reaffirming the positive, you'll begin to see a change in yourself and you'll actually be able to say, this is who I really am. I'm not that person that doesn't like my voice. I'm a person that I love my voice.
And that seems like a really good place just to add, you know, in these conference calls, I'll just say this. A lot of times we only touch the surface of some of these success principles. However, we do want to encourage you guys, if you can attend one of our face-to-face sessions, you know, reach out to us at 336-330-1500. And we can get you the dates for our face-to-face meetings, because in these conference calls, often we just kind of touch the surface. But in our face-to-face meetings in downtown Winston-Salem, North Carolina, we really dive into some of these issues and into some of these success principles. And Faith had mentioned, she mentioned the seven kingdoms, because as you discover who you are, as you go on the journey to discover who you really are, and as you go on the journey to discover what your purpose is, there are seven kingdoms in this world, or should I say seven areas, at least one, maybe more, but at least one of those seven areas you want to really plug your life into, and you have a purpose in one of those seven areas. And we talked about those seven areas in our last face-to-face meeting, but to those of you who weren't there, I do want to give you those seven areas. So if you have something to write with, these are the seven areas. The first area is religion. I want to elaborate on each one of them, but we all should find a purpose in one or more of each of these areas. We were created for a purpose. Number one is religion. Number two is education. Number three is government. Number four is family. Number five is entertainment. Number six is business. And number seven is media.
And Michael, if you would repeat those, because I want to make sure that people actually have an opportunity to be able to write those down, because we really want people, as they're discovering who they are, we want them to be able to go back and see where do they fit in these seven kingdoms so that they can be everything they've been created to be.
again, those seven kingdoms of this world that we should plug into to be successful in is number one is religion. Number two is education. Number three is government. Number four is family. Number five is entertainment. Number six is business. And number seven is media. And if you guys will contact us, we do have excerpts of this lesson to get this information to you. You can do that at 336-330-1500. And you could just simply send us a text and that says you would like some of the exercises that we covered in our face-to-face.
So before we open up the line for comments, I just want to insert one more thing and then we'll open it up to see if you guys have any comments or questions or something that you'd like to discuss concerning discovering who you really are. And there's an African proverb that says, if there is no enemy within, the enemy outside cannot hurt you. And I want to repeat that. If there is no enemy within, the enemy outside cannot hurt you. And so what that means is as we're discovering who we really are, again, not those things that we've picked up from our culture, picked up from our environment, picked up in our DNA, things that our ancestors have passed down to us. After we begin to examine all of those things and say, what do we want to keep? And what are those things that don't serve us anymore? What we're really looking for is to rid ourselves of any enemy that would be on the inside of us, that would keep us, that would prohibit us, that would block us, that would challenge us from really being able to step into those one of those seven kingdoms, one or more of those seven kingdoms that Michael just said. Because again, this success group is really the foundation is purpose. And so if we're going to live our purpose and if we're going to be the best version of ourselves and our purpose, we have to be willing on a daily basis to be able to examine those things that are trying to block and stop us. Because what we're going to do, we're going to rid ourselves of that enemy within. So that enemy outside of us that tries to attack, it really can't harm us.
That's awesome. And one of the things I want to do before we're getting ready to open up for discussion and for questions and comments, but I want to revisit what our working definition that this group has adopted from Earl Nightingale is. And the definition of success that we have adopted is the progressive realization of a worthy goal. Again, the progressive realization of a worthy goal. So let's open this up right here. We're going to go into conversation mode.
Thank you for listening to Success with Michael and Faith Thomas. To find out more about this dynamic duo, visit www.michaelandfaith.com.